A very good morning to you all, and how nice to see everybody this Sunday morning. Another day of worship. Welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of worship. I think we are really beginning to be used to this system of worship. We want to welcome those who are worshiping with us from other congregations, so from other places. Our brothers and sisters from Tayport, from Kerini, from Wormit, and all over the place. And we want to welcome those who are worshiping for the first time especially, or doing so after a long while.
Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 27, starting at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent, and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Let us all come together and sing our first hymn, which is Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may your word of old speak fresh to us today, bringing a new vision, a new faith, and a new commitment. Speak now and help us to listen in the name of Christ. Almighty God, yours is the hand that created the universe, the power that shapes the course of history, the love that moves through all things, and the grace that opens up the way to life. Yet all that is merely a fraction of your greatness. Receive our prayers and open our hearts to know you better each day, until that great day when we meet you face to face and rejoice in the wonder of your presence through the grace of Christ. Lord, we don't like being wrong. It hurts our pride, and it goes against the grain to admit when we've made a mistake. We prefer to blame somebody else, to look for an excuse that justifies our actions. But though we may fool ourselves, we can never fool you. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we have shifted blame onto others, letting excuses become so much a part of us, for hiding behind false truths and half-truths, that we no longer realize that we are making excuses. Teach us to act wisely and with integrity, and when we go wrong, give us the courage to admit it and the humility to accept our dependence on your unfailing grace. Lord, your Son taught us to pray together as a family, and we do this with a grateful heart. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We'll continue our worship singing our next hymn, Wonderful, Merciful Saviour.
Wonderful, merciful Saviour, precious Redeemer and friend, souls of men. Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, comforter, keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we have hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. It's always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your hunger for.
Let's hear what the Lord has to say to us in his holy word. Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 50, starting at verse 15. And it's entitled, Joseph Reassures His Brothers. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we've done him? So they sent word to Joseph, saying, Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 14, reading from verse 7. Paul writes, For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live for the Lord. And if we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we all stand before God's judgment seat. It's written, As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Amen. And may God bless us through these readings of his words. And may we always remember to give him the honor and praise. Our next hymn is, O Christ, in thee my soul hath found.
Let and mock me as I may.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, like Nicodemus, we come to the Word with many questions. Like the Pharisees, we can be captivated by correctness, intent on right answers. As we turn to your Word, Spirit of God, do not let our desire for information dominate our need for transformation. Let us hear the word and be moved to greater faith and obedience. Amen. Do not judge one another. Don't you dare judge me. I think that's the way most of us will reply to anything in the form of judgment, because we don't like to be judged. And so we like Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, which says, "Do not judge others so that God will not judge you." And we like Romans 14, 12, which says all of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning others. And Paul says that we have different appetites and preferences, and therefore cannot possibly judge how people should conduct their lives or what they should eat. All of us will stand before God to be judged by him. The Greek word kino, translated judge, can mean to choose, to esteem, to have an opinion, to determine, to pass judgment, or to rule. But to judge is to make considered decisions or come to sensible conclusions. And I think the question we need to ask and probably try to answer is how sensible our judgments of other people always are. And what I want to do first is to suggest to you at least three reasons I think that make us bad judges, or why we should not judge people at all, as Paul says and as Christ says elsewhere. And the first is that we don't often understand people's particular circumstances and the reason for their preferences. John Wesley told of a man he had little respect for because he considered him to be miserly and covetous. One day, when this person contributed only a small gift to a worthy charity, Wesley openly criticized him. After the incident, the man went to Wesley privately and told him he had been living on peanuts and water for several weeks. He explained that before his conversion, he had accumulated bills, many bills. Now, by skimping on everything and buying nothing for himself, he was paying off his creditors one by one. "Christ has made me an honest man," he said. "And so with all these debts to pay, I can give only a few offerings above my tithes. I must settle up with my worldly neighbors and show them what the grace of God can do in the heart of a man who once was dishonest. Wesley then recognized and apologized to the man and asked for his forgiveness. Dear friends, I don't need to tell you how embarrassed John Wesley would have felt when he realized that his judgment of this man was wrong and unfair. So it's difficult to be judges over people when we don't understand why they make the choices they make. But then secondly, the reason might be because our judgments can always be misleading. The story of Joseph and his brothers in Genesis 50 illustrates this principle. These wicked brothers treated Joseph badly. They sold him into slavery and deceived their father that some wild animals might have killed Joseph. For years, they lived with that guilt until they found out that Joseph was still alive. But because they were evil, they imagined that Joseph would take revenge on them at some point. But they still felt very safe because they judged that their father, Jacob, would urge Joseph not to treat them badly. When Jacob died, his brothers felt insecure. And in order to stop Joseph from hurting them, they sent word to him saying, their late father had instructed Joseph be kind to them. You see, dear friends, their judgment of Joseph was misleading because when they went to Joseph and asked for forgiveness, he only showed them mercy and kindness. Listen to the words of Joseph. Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I should punish you? Instead of hate and judgment of their bad behavior towards him, Joseph showed love and kindness. Joseph has learned the danger of criticism. In the words of the Apostle Paul, let us stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and to fall. And we all know the rest of that story, how the brothers of Joseph lived in the palace of Egypt and enjoyed the privileges of royalty. Their judgment had been misleading. And then thirdly, the reason why we must not judge, or we may be bad judges, is because judgment belongs to God alone, who is perfect and knows everything about us. That is why Paul asks the all-important question in Romans 14, verse 10, who are you to judge your brother in anything? Or who are you contemptuously to despise your brother? To be contemptuous towards others is to feel they are worthless or beneath consideration. And Paul asks, who are you to regard anyone with contempt and to despise them like that? To which we reply, but who are you? And often our contempt or judgment of others may be very unkind because we hardly consider or even know the trying circumstances that might be forcing them to do what they do to attract our judgment and in some cases even our scorn. No wonder F.B. Meyer remarked that when we see a brother or sister in sin, there are two things we do not know. First, we do not know how hard he or she might have tried not to sin. And second, we do not know the power of the forces that assailed him or her. And then, we also do not know what we would have done in the same circumstances. Do not judge one another. Dear friends, before we are too harsh in judging others, we need to stop and look at ourselves and to consider what we might be missing by concentrating on judging others. There are many, many Christians who come to church to find fault, to gossip, and just to criticize. Warren Wiebe, in his book, Angry People, wrote about an incident in the life of Joseph Parker, that great British preacher of centuries ago. He was preaching at a city temple in London. After the service, one of the listeners came up to him and said, "Dr. Parker, you made a grammatical error in your sermon." He then proceeded to point out the error to the pastor. Joseph Parker looked at the man and said, "And what else did you get out of the message?" What a way to rebuke one who concentrates only on the mistakes of others instead of on the substance of things that can build their lives or even their spiritual lives. There are many people who don't see anything good in others or even in the church. They judge and criticize the ministers, the elders, and other church leaders and members. They judge its structures and principles and practices in very unkind ways. Friends, I think nowhere else in the Bible is the poignancy of our judgment of others reflected than in the words of Jesus in Luke 6. Jesus says, "Do not judge others, and God will not judge you. Do not condemn others, and God will not condemn you. Forgive each other, and God will forgive you. Give to others, and God will give to you. Indeed, you will receive a full measure." In other words, do unto others as you would have them do to you. And again, I think our judgment of others is captured as a conundrum in the words of Jesus still in Luke 6, verse 39 following, where he says, "One blind man cannot lead another one. If he does, both will fall into a ditch." Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but pay no attention to the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Please let me take that speck out of your eye," yet cannot even see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eyes. Those words of Jesus make any attempt to judge others confusing and difficult because we all have setbacks to deal with and therefore should not be too quick to judge others without examining ourselves. "Do not judge others," or "do not judge one another," says Paul. Well, if I ended my sermon here, many of us would be quite happy because we truly don't like to be judged at all. And I am pretty sure that all of us have suffered from some wrong or misleading judgment at some point in our lives. And so if I ended here, you would probably say you've got your word from the Lord this morning through Amos. Now you can go on living with those little prudential compromises that do not honor God and the sins that hold us captive. After all, nobody should judge me, the Bible says, and our minister told us that this morning clearly. After all, we live in a postmodern culture. You have your way, I have my way, and all our ways are all right. Moreover, it is not really part of our modern or postmodern relative culture to judge. It's impolite to question the actions of others and to proclaim the absoluteness of truth. Doesn't Paul say, do not judge one another? Yes, he does. But does it mean that we should only be concerned with ourselves and not speak up about truth and sin and salvation? Maybe that is what Romans 14:1 following means when it says, welcome those who are weak in faith, but do not argue with them about their personal opinions. Some people's faith allows them to eat anything, but a person who is weak in the faith eats only vegetables. So, some people will say, it doesn't matter what people believe and how they live and how they interpret scripture, often to suit their own practices and the things they like. Let them do what pleases them. If you challenge sinful practices in people's lives, you are a fundamentalist and a conservatist. Leave them alone. Don't judge them. Really? Can I suggest to you, friends, that Jesus' command not to judge others, which the Apostle Paul picks up in our text, is almost invariably quoted in complete disregard of its context. In Matthew 7:1, Jesus says, do not judge, or you will be judged. And many people use this verse in an attempt to silence their critics. Interpreting Jesus' meaning as, you don't have the right to tell me I am wrong. Taken in isolation, Jesus' command, do not judge, would indeed seem to preclude all negative assessments. However, there is much more to the passage than those three words. The Bible's command that we should not judge others does not mean we cannot show discernment. Immediately after Jesus says, do not judge, he says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. And a little later, in the same sermon, he says, watch out for false prophets. By their fruit, you will recognize them. But how are we to discern those who are the false prophets unless we have the ability to make a judgment call on doctrines and deeds? Jesus Christ is indeed giving us permission to tell right from wrong. As Christians, therefore, it is our responsibility and our duty to proclaim both the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins and also God's righteous law, exposing sin where it exists. Calling evil evil is not being judgmental. It is pronouncing God's judgment on those who refuse to repent and to seek the face of God in their lives. It is not out of ignorance or stuck in old-fashioned ways, but it is a morality, it is a truth. It is a life built upon the will of God. And I tell you, friends, we have permission from Jesus to judge ourselves. Before his ascension to heaven, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth belong to him. And then he sends out his people to preach and teach the whole counsel of God. And that includes challenging the structures of sin that hold people captive and naming the evil powers of this dark age, the principalities and the powers that beset us. To do any less, to avoid proclaiming God's judgment to the world, to never speak of God's intolerance of sin and evil is to be complacent. As surely as I am the living God, says the Lord, everyone will kneel before me and everyone will confess that I am God. Every one of us then will have to give an account of ourselves to God. Let me finish with a quote. If two friends ask you to judge a dispute, don't accept, because you will lose one friend. On the other hand, if two strangers come with the same request, accept, because you will gain one friend. Let us judge one another. And let us do so kindly. Let us pray. Our most merciful and ever-living Father, we give you thanks for your word to us this morning. We want to confess ourselves, we want to confess to you, O Father, for times when we have judged people wrongly and many times unkindly. We ask you, O Father, to help us to examine the ways in which we approach one another as we help to build our faith in you. And that even as we raise concerns about some of the challenges that come with our Christian faith, some of the compromises that people make concerning your word, we ask that we be kind in our judgment of these things. We pray too for times, O Father, when we have not taken the bold step to speak out against practices that do not honor you because we are afraid to judge others. Give us the courage to stand out and to shout out loud enough when truth is being challenged. And help us to continue, O Father, to build your church in this place and elsewhere. For in your name we pray. Amen. Brother, sister, let me serve you.
Sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey. We're companions on the road. We are here to help each other walk a mile and bend the load.
I will hold the cross. I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through.
When we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony. For of all we've known together of Christ's love and agony. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us riches beyond measure, a love so great. We therefore dedicate ourselves to serving you faithfully and bringing you glory. Renew and refresh us as we utilize our talents and time to serve others and uphold your kingdom here on earth. Amen. Now let us come together for our prayers for others. Heavenly Father, we pray for our disturbed and unsettled world, a world that has done wrong and needs salvation. Help us to strive to peace, to live in peace and harmony with each other in a fair and just world. Lord, as the COVID-19 pandemic continues to affect all nations, we pray for those who have been affected directly in one way or another. We ask you to give knowledge and skills to those who are involved in research to finding a vaccine and to find ways to lessen the effect. Guide the leaders of nations that they make the right decisions in dealing with this. There are many illnesses and conditions that your people have to deal with. We pray you will give relief to the sick, comfort the dying and the bereaved, and give strength to those who are facing difficulties in life, be it physical, psychological, social or spiritual. We pray for families who are separated at this time, especially church families who yearn to be back in their place of worship to praise you. We pray for all those professionals and volunteers who have maintained contact with those who have been isolated, afraid and alone. As our world and its people face many challenges, we pray we can unite together in your love and to share the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in his precious name. Amen. We will now sing our last hymn, Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life?
Oh,
And serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.
Amen.